Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. Talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
The Red Sox are catching up to the Yankees. The Dodgers are struggling, and more bad news for Kawhi Leonard. But we'll begin today's show with really the opening of the NFL season, as the Hall of Fame game was last week, and football is officially back. After Kenny Pickett and Carson Beck duked it out on Thursday night, Luke Kuechly, Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, Roger Craig, and Adam Vinatieri were all inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts on this class, and who should be first ballot next year?
Well, let's talk about the class first. You have Luke Kuechly. You know,
a lot of alumni came this week. That past
that was a surprise. Yeah,
a lot of alumni. That, Joe Montana was there. Like, everybody was there.
I mean, it's good to see a lot of the NFL Hall of Famers, because when baseball has its Hall of Fame ceremony, they turn out.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to see players of a previous era. Kuechly, we've said it, you know, he has solid numbers. I felt he didn't play long enough, but because Patrick Willis is in, Luke Kuechly's. So I had issues with Patrick Willis being in because I didn't think he played long. Larry Fitzgerald, one of the best wide receivers of all time, amazing hands, didn't win anything, got to a Super Bowl, so there's that. Good play. One of the better wide receivers of a generation. Drew Brees at one point was statistically up there in terms of touchdowns. Yeah, bye-bye. In terms of yards, yeah, bye-bye. But Drew Brees hung with Brady. He hung with Peyton. He hung with the best of his generation.
He beat Peyton.
He beat Peyton. So he deserves to be there. Roger Craig was a key cog, a key running back on the Niners championship teams. Announced
he was one
that,
of the first backs to start catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah,
in the West Coast offense.
In a way, you know, that is still revolutionary to this day. Because then you see guys like Reggie Bush, or you see, you know, players that
Daniel
have
Thompson, had Marshall Faulk, all
right.
Those guys.
You have guys that increased their value, or, you know, just revitalize their career entirely, because a guy like Reggie Bush is not a between the tackles runner. A guy like Shane Vereen was not a between the tackles runner, but they were able to carve out a nice little niche for themselves. A guy like Fred Jackson, he had hands outside out of the backfield. So these guys were able to carve something out of what Roger Craig was able to do in the West Coast offense for the Niners. Announced that he was diagnosed with dementia and he's going to fight, and, you know, best wishes to Roger Craig and his family, because he is in for that fight. Dementia is, it's unforgiving to initially the person who's suffering from it, but then the long game, the long fight is for the people and the loved ones that surround them. So hopefully Roger Craig is able to bring awareness, and he's able to draw attention, and hopefully some good can come out of this. And Adam Vinatieri, Automatic Adam, one of the greatest kickers of all time. Like, I can't argue with him going in. Now, the Bill Goldberg question. Who's next? You got Gronk coming up. Probably the third best tight end of all time. Yeah, I gotta say that Gronk is probably going in first ballot. You have Adrian Peterson, arguably the fifth best running back of all time, statistically. Yeah, like he had his issues off the field with child abuse and all of that. Like, that should, in terms of character, should knock him. I don't know that it will. So he may get in on the first ballot. He's got the numbers to back it up. You have a guy like Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think, is a first ballot. I think he's going to wait at least a year or two. When you think about the quarterbacks of his generation, you know, he does have two rings. So there's that. So he's on level with Eli. And he was never able to get to the next level in terms of where Peyton Manning was, or where Tom Brady was, or where Aaron Rodgers is, or even Patrick Mahomes. Like, Ben Roethlisberger was good, and in moments he could be great, but I think injuries definitely hampered what Ben Roethlisberger could have been and the level he could have gotten to. I think we're going to see a lot of that with Josh Allen, too. Like, big dude, can deliver the ball, mobile, can take a hit. Josh Allen has avoided the nagging injuries, or has been able to play through them because he's just that tough, right? Ben Roethlisberger was that tough, but I think it counted against him later on in his career. You see a guy like Jason Witten. Witten should be in. I don't know if it's going to be next year, but it should be. And last but not least, from a coaching standpoint, Belichick. I'm sorry, he paid his penance. Bill Belichick is going to go into the NFL Hall of Fame. Deal with it, eat it, own it.
I Belichick's thought you were going somewhere else with your last one. I thought you were going to say Antonio Brown.
Oh, I want Antonio Brown just for the speech. Just for the speech. The guy is going to hover over the button. It's just going to, he's got his finger right at the mute button. Because when it goes south, inevitably it's going to go south. And oh, I want it. I want it just for that. But I think that one's going to have to be on tape delay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this class was good. We shared our sentiments with Keith Lee, and we shared our sentiments with Craig. I don't have a problem with Drew Brees because, like, he was pretty much the Dan Marino of our generation, really. He just happened to win a Super Bowl, and he beat Peyton. I think that matters. He did everything there was as a passer, and this guy was undersized, and it was really amazing. He was left for dead, you know, in San Diego after he tore up his arm. Miami wouldn't touch him. Goes to the Saints, teams with Sean Payton, and man, that offense was fun to watch. My only gripe I would say with Drew Brees is he was never the best quarterback when he played. You know, there was always a better quarterback, right? He played when Tom was around. He played when Peyton was around. Like, he was never the best quarterback, but he won. He won, and he broke all tons of records, and he was a fantastic player. Hard not to root for that guy, and hard for him not to be a first ballot. Adam and Terry, he won Super Bowls, man. Dude won, literally won Super Bowls for New England, and, you know, it was one of the most accurate kickers in the postseason. Can't really argue with it. So to now talk about the class that's the next year, you know, it's got to be Gronk. He has to be first ballot. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Football is not as good as it was because Rob Gronkowski didn't play. I really, truly feel like that. Because it was just incredible, a guy of his size, and he really took his football playing ability to the next level, because he wasn't much of a receiving tight end in college, right? And there was all the issues with his back, and they didn't even really know how much he was going to play. It was supposed to be Hernandez. Like, Hernandez was going to be the guy, you know? And for him to come in and, you know, he got in trouble with Tom because, you know, he wasn't where he was supposed to be, and they got on the same page, and it was like, third and long, find Gronkowski. Because teams can't play cover two against us. And what are they going to, who are they? You're going to put a linebacker on him? You're going to put a slot corner? Who are you putting on Gronk? You know? So he changed the game. He really changed the game. So I know you're saying you're not on the in the Big Ben camp, but I don't know. I am. I'm a bit. I don't know if it's because I'm a quarter. I was a quarterback or why, but I go back and watch Ben's film and watch Ben's games, and my God, I think we just forget how big and strong he was, and the way he could throw the ball, and especially in the early years, running all over the field, like. I don't know. I know he wasn't the greatest person off the field, and part of that, I think he grew up at some point, and he didn't get along with Terry Bradshaw, and he's probably a shit human. But I don't know. Like he does it for me. He does it for me. I'm a Big Ben fan. He's got two rings, and I do believe it was a large part to him. I mean, yes, they had a good defense, and yes, they had really good players. He should have won more. That's the part I put him down for. When they had the Killer Bees, it was him, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. Mike Wallace was there, like Pouncey. They had such a Troy Polamalu,
Keith Miller,
Casey Hampton. They had such a great team, and they only won two. And mm-hmm. I wish he would have won more. I wish he would have won. That'd be my
and
only.
And that first one, he had Santonio Holmes, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, not the. I think the second one. The second.
Okay.
Oh, no. I don't remember.
Because first one was Seattle.
When they beat the Cardinals.
Okay, the second one he had San Antonio.
When they beat the Cardinals, because San Antonio caught into that in the end. No, I don't think he was there for the first one. First one was like Willie Parker, Hines Ward.
Big two more guys, Willie Parker and Hines Ward.
Yeah, Hines Ward is a guy that might even should might even get it. So
right.
Adrian Peterson, yeah. I mean, phenomenal running back. He didn't win, but a lot of running backs don't win, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the top of the class. He tore his ACL and still came back. And, you know, he hung around for a while, right? Played for the Cardinals, played for the Titans, too, at one point. I can't get mad at that. I think that's a fair... That's a fair assessment for him to be first time. I wouldn't get all upset about that one. But those are the guys that stand out for me. Antonio Brown, I just wish what could have been. You know, he won one with Tom. He could have won more with Tom. You know, it just, what do you say? He's still one of the best receivers of all time. He has to go in. He has to go in. I think his numbers put him in. So... Yeah, that's where I stand.
Yeah, I mean, is the NFL Hall of Fame going to end up like every other Hall of Fame where everybody's just going to get in?
So well, hold on. Just gonna wait your turn. I don't think every Hall of Fame's like that, right? I mean, we know the NBA is like that, but
NHL is like that.
There are some guardrails in baseball. And the only reason why the guardrails come off is because the players are voting in other players, right?
Like, right.
It's hard to argue against that. If your peers want you to be in with them, I can't argue. It doesn't work for me. I wouldn't be on board with writers voting in Mark McGwire or Barry Bonds. But if their peers say, you know what? You are still a great player. You should be. Your name should be on the wall with me. I can't get mad at that, right? Because that's even how Jeff Kent got in, right? Jeff Kent got in because the players voted him in, right?
He was on a committee. Not the players. I mean, it was just a committee of players.
It's just a committee.
Committee of players. So, like, that's how Harold Baines got in. And that's why you have an issue with, like, is Harold Baines... Like, you have the pro-Harold Baines and you have the anti-Harold Baines.
Right.
Like, a solid player. Was he really a Hall of Fame player? Like,
probably not.
Like Eli. But Eli's the perfect candidate for that because he won two.
I'm an Eli fan.
Me too. But
I mean, he won two Super Bowls. He beat Tom twice. I'm an Eli fan.
Is that enough to get him in?
I like him better than Peyton.
But is that enough to get him in?
It should be. It's not easy to win a Super Bowl.
Because he's what? 117 and 117 for his career? Something of that nature? He finished at 500.
Good postseason record, though, right?
Yeah. But
I mean, that matters, I would think. Doesn't that matter?
It does. But if by that rationale, then Malcolm Butler is going to get in based on what he did in the Super Bowl
against that play.
That was an amazing play. But is that a Hall of Fame clinching play? Because you could, would you say Malcolm Butler is a Hall of Famer?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. So you have to split hairs here. And I mean, I know that you've been saying it in Major League Baseball, the Hall of Very Good is mixed in with the Hall of Great and the Hall of Fame. Right. And I wonder if that is going to start happening more in other sports as you see guys like Kuechly and guys like Patrick Willis and guys that are cashing out early. Andrew Luck. Is Andrew Luck going to get serious consideration for a Hall of Fame?
No. The city of Indianapolis will burn down if that happens. They hate him.
Andrew Luck.
What other players that are on the list is Le'Veon Bell. We have Richard Sherman, Eric Weddle, Andrew Whitworth.
Whitworth eventually, Weddle maybe, Sherman yes. I think Torrey Holt is on the list too.
He's eligible, but this isn't his first ballot.
I think Torrey Holt should. I would say he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, if you're gonna put Isaac Bruce in, you kind of got to put him in, right?
Yeah,
that's the problem. You start putting these guys in, you're like, you're not gonna put this guy in. How are you putting this guy in? Well, that's the problem. So I guess I do agree with you in a sense. Is like we're getting to a point where it's like, guys, the hole ain't big and the hole ain't small enough for Deion Sanders, as he would say. And maybe it's time for something else to be built, right? Could there be a Hall of Legends or Hall of Greatness where these are the cream of the top? These are the guys that won championships. These are the guys that set records. These are the guys that changed the game. Maybe that's a discussion that needs to happen. There has to be, and maybe that has to be done by the National Football League, or maybe that has to be done by an independent person. And it's not something that necessarily has memorabilia in it. It's just kind of like a museum that kind of honors the people who were great in the game, right? Yeah. Because what Joe Namath did for New York, incredible, does not level up to what Eli Manning did, right? Yeah. You would say those are two different things, and they should be celebrated as such. And when you bring an argument like that to the table, it's like, okay, yeah, maybe Eli doesn't belong in there, right? But then you have a guy like Dan Marino has all these records but never won anything. All of Dan's records will eventually fall, if they haven't already.
Here's the thing, and, I get it. We're invoking pro wrestling. But WWE in recent years has inducted specific matches into their Hall of Fame. So maybe does the NFL, do they induct specific games? Do they induct specific moments?
Way to honor other players.
Right, like the catch. Or David Tyree's helmet catch. Boom.
Right.
Honor the moment, honor the man. David Tyree would probably admit himself he's not a Hall of Famer. Yeah. But that's a Hall of Fame play.
And Malcolm Butler's play is a Hall of Fame play.
Right, exactly.
Santonio Holmes' touchdown is a Hall of Fame play. Right. Devin Hester, I think, got in.
He got in. But that kickoff return.
His plays were definitely one for me.
So maybe that's something for Raj and the boys to take into consideration. Maybe it's something to pitch to the Hall of Fame.
You can make more money on it.
You could. You can have more celebration.
Greetings, football fans. This is Rita, your thrice champion in the Option Pick'em Football Challenge with D&Z. Each week, we pick the winners for every NFL regular season matchup and compete to see who comes out on top. It's free to join, and the winner gets the ultimate bragging rights and a chance to record this spot next year. Are you in? Come test your skills against me, D, Z, and the rest of the league. Visit the Fade Route socials, click Join the Option, and sign up today. Good luck, and we'll see you for week one.
Talking about making more money on it, the WNBA viewership is up. They have several talented players. Aja Wilson, Caitlin Clark, Olivia Miles, just to name a few. But they don't seem to be capitalizing on their product. So how could the WNBA take the next step?
Well, you have Aja Wilson, Kelsey Plum, you have Breonna Stewart, Ionescu. You have so much talent.
Talent. A lot of talent.
But who are you talking about? Who does ESPN put up on a pedestal? Who are they covering? They're covering Caitlin Clark, Sophie Cunningham, Dejanay Carrington, Angel Reese.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems, right? I mean, and I hate to say this, but I think this actually falls on the commissioner. I don't know if she's doing her job.
She's got her hands full right now.
This is a big PR thing. Like, you know, the fact that the finals are going to be on two different networks, it's a problem. It's a problem. You need more exposure. I know it's a minor league approach, but hear me out. I think every single team that's in the city of another NBA team, they should try to have, you know, they should try to incorporate that in some way, somehow, right? There's got to be some way that you can get the NBA fan to at least come to one WNBA game, right? And I don't know if it's as that simple as, like, if you buy a ticket to an NBA game or a specific NBA game, that also qualifies for you to go to X WNBA game. Why not have it like that? You know, a situation where, I don't know, let's think of a trash team. You know,
You have the
Sacramento Kings playing the New York Knicks tonight. Nobody wants to go to that game, even though it's a New York Knicks, right? If you go to this game, you automatically get a voucher to go to a WNBA game. That, get people to go. If you give people just a taste of it,
right,
they might come back. You know, I mean, the unfortunate thing is I really feel like, you know, more women should be going to WNBA games. Support your fellow sister. But I said it a couple of years ago that I wanted to go to a WNBA game. And unfortunately, I looked at the prices and I was like, I'm not paying for a WNBA game. But I have people in my office that have gone and they have really enjoyed themselves, surprisingly enjoyed themselves. Getting to see Paige Beckers, getting to see Sabrina, getting to see Stewart. There's talent.
I would
actually love to go to the Connecticut team plays in the Mohegan Sun Arena.
Yeah.
So if I go to Mohegan Sun, which I plan on doing next month.
Yeah.
And they're playing, I might dip in there and check it out.
Do it before you can, before they move to Houston, because I think they're moving to Houston.
But the thing about it is I do feel like this falls on the commissioner, and I don't know if she's not well versed in PR, or she doesn't really understand how to grow this sport. But you can't be expanding and like honestly, Z, unless we were talking about the WNBA, I can't tell you who's in first. I can't tell you in last. I know a handful of players and teams they're on. And we're a sports program with over 630 episodes.
But that's the thing, though. The marketing aspect needs to be better. Like,
right.
I know Kelsey Plum, right? I know Breonna Stewart. I know Sabrina Ionescu. Like,
That's because you hang out with them.
I follow women's sports. I know certain athletes, right? You follow it is very much follow the athlete in the WNBA, because like ESPN, or the main focus of the media, is Caitlin Clark. And that's no fault to Caitlin Clark. She is a good player. But is she like LeBron James? Like, is she at that level that they portray her to be, right? To the disproportionate amount and to the detriment of the rest of the league, because now you have Sophie Cunningham caught up in all this, and you have her being like the Dennis Rodman to her Michael Jordan kind of thing, where she's the enforcer on the team, and then the Dejanay Carrington. We've kind of lost the plot here. Like, we're talking about three players, right? But to your point, who's the best team in the league? Can we focus on the best team in the league? Can we focus on some players that are not just that are playing well? Can we do that? Can we not sensationalize?
No, by focusing on this one girl who's in Minnesota right now, Olivia Miles. I mean, just when we were just looking up, you know, the topics for today, is the first time I ever heard of her.
Yeah.
She's really good. Really good player. She's from Minnesota.
Professional sports and in particular, sports like Major League Baseball, WNBA, they have difficulty marketing individual stars, right?
You think the NBA has a difficulty?
No, the WNBA, Major League Baseball, they have difficulty marketing stars.
Well, right? I think the problem with the Major League Baseball is they haven't found their star, right? I believe Ohtani is making his way up there. You know, and Trout was a guy that never wanted that baton and never wanted to be in the big stage. And
really pretty sure Harper's in the same boat. I don't think he wanted to be the face of the league.
I know he wants it, and he's getting a little older. You know, Derek Jeter, unfortunately, had it for a while, and he rocked it pretty well. You know,
Griffey.
Griffey was so cool and so awesome, right? Yeah. An argument could be made during the steroid era with Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but since then, no. And the thing about it is there is such a marketability for the WNBA player,
yes.
I think, especially with young girls. You know, we had Robert Ortiz on a couple of weeks ago, and he was just talking about his daughter's a soccer player, but he was telling her that the path, you know, could be. I mean, well, you know, she was playing football. She's playing flag football.
She's playing flag, yeah.
And he's like, you know, the path is either do soccer or do the WNBA. If that's right. The kind of girl you want coming to your games.
100%.
You know, that's what you should be marketing to.
Yeah.
Well, every little girl who plays sports should know all the WNBA players. There's no reason why they don't.
The NWSL does a really good job marketing their players. But I think it's also something that needs to be considered here. The WNBA starts in April and ends in October. So what starts in April? The NBA playoffs. You're starting during the NBA playoffs. Yeah, and I get that it's a different sport. You know, women's basketball, men's basketball, two different things. Where are your eyes going to go? You're going to go to a regular season game between the Toronto Tempo and the Cleveland Sirens.
So there you go. Maybe that's how it works. Maybe it's like every playoff team during the day, the WNBA will play, and then that night, the NBA team will play. And your ticket, if you get the playoff ticket to the NBA game, it's good for two. You just want to fan to go there for the first time.
Yes.
You want to get people to go and want to come back, right? And if you do something like that throughout the whole playoffs, I'm not saying you have to do it every single game, but maybe once a week where your ticket counts as two. And if you choose not to go, you choose not to go. Right. But you have the option to be able to go at 1 o'clock or noon. You'll watch and whatever time, whatever day of the week it is, whether it's Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it is, you'll get to see the WNBA play. And then that night, the NBA will play. And it's just to get exposure. It's just to get that fan to come back. And that's what you're trying to do there.
I think you're better off because your season, your championship is in October. You're going up against the NFL now. So
that's not, that,
this is
that,
a death not, sentence. You're going up against playoff basketball to open your season and NFL. No, so June to August. That should be your sweet spot. You're expanding to a 50-game schedule. Yeah, that's going to be tough. 50 games in 90 days. I get it. But you try to play the lion's share of your games in that time and get done before the NFL really starts to ramp up. So try to be done before NFL Week 5 because those first four regular season games are Diet Coke. Like, the teams are still figuring out what the hell's going on. So you may be able to get some people.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, even at the end of August, before the NFL season starts, because you're going to lose people.
You're losing eyeballs. Like, because you have good product. This is the thing. You have good product. You have marketable stars.
Marketable stars. It's a good product.
But how do you get eyeballs on it? Like, do you do the incentive, like you're saying? Do you alter the timing of your season? MLS is doing that to align with the global calendar, right? And you'll get more eyeballs on it. But I don't know. It remains to be seen, but the WNBA definitely has improved by leaps and bounds, and you see it. They're up 10 to 15% in viewership, and it's good product, but tell us more.
Right.
I want to know more. I want to know more.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547.
Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547.
What you don't want to know is about Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, man.
He's in the news again. This time, it appears Leonard is tied to a secret sponsorship deal with Daktronics, which is the scoreboard at, you guessed it, Intuit Arena, or Intuit Dome. Oh, Z, how much worse can this get?
Well, according to Brian Windhorst, this is extraordinarily troubling. Well, that's good. I'm glad he's extraordinarily troubled by this. So, Pablo Torre, once again, flowers to you, sir. You crushed it. You know, investigating deeper, found evidence of a multi-million dollar deal between Leonard and Daktronics. And this is akin to the no-show job, right? You're getting paid. Is he endorsing the Halo board at the Intuit Dome? I don't think so. I think that they just have the dome. They just have the dome and the scoreboard, and somehow this is somehow getting funneled to Kawhi Leonard. It doesn't seem very connected. You know, he's not. It doesn't seem like he's doing anything to promote this. But he's not saying he's not doing ads for Daktronics, and I. You know, Stephen A. Smith said he wants significant punishments.
It has to be.
But it can't just be Kawhi Leonard.
It's got to be Ballmer.
It's got to be Ballmer.
Like, they don't want to do this, but I have a feeling the reason why they don't want to do this is because if you go after Ballmer, Ballmer is going to go after everybody else.
Right.
He's doing something else. The integrity of the NBA is at an all-time low. I mean, you got people openly circumventing the salary cap with no punishment.
Yeah.
Like, all of the legal documents are out there. Everything's out there for everybody to see. There's nothing hidden. And they still haven't charged anybody with anything, haven't suspended anybody. It's almost a year.
Walls, man.
So
complete and utter hubris.
And the more this goes on, Z, it almost feels like nothing's going to happen. It almost feels like nothing's going to come from this. And I wonder how fans are going to react to that. Because I'm telling you right now, it's unsettling for me. I don't feel like we're playing with a full deck here. I feel like there's a lot of other things going on that I don't know about. And, you know, this is a league that's always under scrutiny for trades being made, for the way games are officiated. It's ugly.
It's something they absolutely did not need, but then got anyway. But it's hard. You can't really, you know, what are you going to do? Like, go after Ballmer, but tell the other owners to get their house in order? Like, what are you... Like, you need a head on a stick. And I think that
you need someone to take the fall here.
Right.
And the problem is like, Ballmer is not... Ballmer is an owner, probably the richest owner you have.
Yes.
And you're not going to throw him down. He's essentially Adam Silver's boss, right?
Well...
But if you...
In particular, Steve Ballmer has a special connection to Adam Silver because he is the guy that Adam Silver approved when they got rid of Donald Sterling. So there's a special, and maybe that part of that plays into this, right? It's like, yeah, do you want Donald Sterling back? You came and got me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you found me, motherfucker. I'm above the law here.
I am the law. But it almost feels like Adam Silver doesn't have a pulse on his league.
He's got right? No,
it
doesn't.
It doesn't seem like he has any control over his league. And that's a problem.
It's
and
absurd.
I'm not a David Stern fan, and everyone likes to give that guy credit, a lot of credit for everything. And I'm not sure what he would have done in this situation, but he would have done something by now.
Oh,
the fact that nothing's been done, we're operating his business as usual. Kawhi's trade to the Clippers hasn't even gone through. We're ready to get into basketball season, and the Clippers and the Raptors don't even know what player they traded for is going to be able to play.
Right. So, and what should be the punishment then? Like, are we talking about forfeiting draft picks? Are we suspending Ballmer for an indefinite? Like, are we Steinbrennering Steve Ballmer? Are we, you know, suspending Kawhi for a year? Are you making him pay back the money? Like, what's the punishment here?
Everything you just said, everything. I think Ballmer has to go away for a year. Dock draft picks. Got to give the money back. All of it has to happen. Especially if he was the one that was in command of it. You know, if we find out the Clippers are offering it and he took it, okay, I guess there's a less of a blame to go there. But it sounds like this is an agenda that his side was pushing because he was trying to get leverage on where he was going to go next. And the Clippers were the only team that was like, all right, we can do this. Yeah, it's fine. Everybody else does it, right? You know, and if that's the case, then you're going to have to do it to everybody. They're breaking the rules. They're breaking the laws of the game. It's an unfair playing field when the Clippers have to get these no-show jobs just to get a player to go play for them. Well, if you're a team like the Pelicans, if I'm a Pelicans owner, I'm like, yo, what the fuck? I don't have that. I don't have that ability. I can't do anything like that down here.
No.
If you're a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, I don't have that. I don't have that kind of money to toy around.
No, so they just had to trade Giannis. They just had to trade him.
Right. What am I supposed to do? Just hope I hit the jackpot on a lottery pick that also is usually fixed? Come on, man. Gotta help me out here. So, I don't know.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Sticking with basketball, Shaq recently spoke about LeBron James and his Laker career. Kareem has 6, Magic has 5, Kobe got 5, Shaq has 4, Kurt Rambis has 3. LeBron would get invited to the party, but he would not be allowed on stage. So, do you think after LeBron retires, he's going to regret his decision to go play for the Los Angeles Lakers?
I mean, that's a shot at LeBron, but it's also a shot at, like, Pau Gasol. Like, come on now. He has more than Kurt Rambis. Like, we went to Kurt Rambis.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Like, well, that's what he's trying to show him.
Oh, my God. You know, Michael Madsen has rings. The dancing fool, Michael Madsen. Is LeBron going to regret it? Is the question. I don't know if LeBron regrets much of anything, right? Over the totality of his career, I think that he is a lot like Kevin Durant in that regard.
That he's like, chasing experiences.
Like, this is the length and breadth of his career, right? He went back home, delivered a championship home, went and played for the Lakers, won a championship for the Lakers, you know, won in Miami, you know. He is a difference maker in the global sense of the league does business differently now, right? The players have a lot more control than they used to. The players control their narrative a lot more than they used to, for good or for bad. I'm not saying that, you know, it's good or bad, but they do. The players have more control than they used to. And a lot of that stems from the decision. Right? LeBron took that media and he used it, he weaponized it and made it this must-see event. Right? Where were you when he was at the Boys and Girls Club of Akron? right? Where were you when he made the decision the first time? Like, it was a moment in sports history, and he is a part of that. That's his legacy, right? He has the production company. He's been in Space Jam 2. Like, his legacy is beyond basketball. I don't think he's going to mind only having one ring with the Lakers. I don't think he's going to mind if he has one ring with the Sixers, if he gets that, right? I don't know. He's 42, man. He's old. Like, let's be real here. He's NBA old. So I just don't think LeBron is going to care that much.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that's part of the reason why he's going to the 76ers is he's going there because he thinks he can win. And he thinks he can win two. You know, winning one makes him the only player to win in four different places. Winning two gets him to Michael Jordan. And that's what he wants. He wants to be on Michael Jordan's level.
Here's why he'll never be, though. What you're describing is the ultimate merc. He's a merc. At this point, he's a merc. Look, and here's the thing. That's why Chris Bosh's argument fell apart, too. He said Kobe chased rings. No. People came to play with Kobe. Kobe didn't go to play with other people. Like, I think that it's a different story.
If he's able to get one more ring in Philly, I think he enters the Jordan conversation. And I only say that for a couple reasons. One is, he will have one in four different places. Number two, the longevity. The amount, how long this man has been playing in this league and how many times he's gone to the finals. That is incredible. We'll never see another Jordan. We will never see another LeBron. There will never be a player of his caliber. And the amount of scrutiny that he's gone through his whole career, everybody, no matter what he did, has always given him a hard time about everything. And as for his whole time in his career, he might be the only prominent player of that caliber, right? Say he's a top 5, top 10 player of all time. Zero controversy. Zero times in trouble. Never arrested. Never accused of anything. Family man. Not divorced. His kids. He's married. Like, I do think that if he wins one in Philly, he enters the Jordan conversation. And then the other thing I'm going to say is if I was LeBron, I think I would regret going to LA. Especially seeing what just happened with Jalen Brunson in New York. I mean, that's what he's chasing, Zeke. That's what he's chasing. He's chasing what just happened in New York. Because everywhere else, except for Cleveland, because he won in Cleveland, he won in Cleveland. He's trying to go and say, to go to Philadelphia and in the drought there, be the man there. And that's why I say, I think if I was him, my regret would be that I didn't go to New York sooner. That I, instead of going to LA, go to New York, see if they could build a team around me and see what would happen there. Because who knows, if he goes to New York, there's a possibility KD joins him. There's a lot of different things. With Dante DiVincenzo, when he was there, that could have been a decent, and Julius Randle, that could have been a decent team in the East. So that's where I think he would regret. I do.
Yeah, I just don't know. He's used the Knicks so many times. It's like Ken Griffey Jr.
One more thing. You mentioned how KD's chasing experiences. I think LeBron is chasing championships. You know, that's why he went to Miami. That's why he went back to Cleveland. That's why he went to LA. KD might be chasing experiences. LeBron's chasing championships.
Not in LA, though. Not in LA. You have the barbershop. You have the production company. You have Space Jam 2. Like, the other things overwhelmed
the basketball. I think he thought he was going to win there, though. He thought him and AD were going to win a lot there.
Then he's a fool.
Like, he thought AD was going to be healthy because I believe he was the one that kind of lobbied for that, right?
Yeah. So that's the thing. If you believe in a healthy Anthony Davis, you also probably believe in Santa Claus.
He did.
Yeah, you believe in the Easter Bunny.
But that was early on, right? Now we all know.
Anthony Davis, how far into his career was Anthony Davis? He was a veteran at that point. Six-year veteran, dude. You are who you are. You're made of glass. You're made of friggin' glass. And then I can make it work with Luka. Did you? No.
There's a lot of other things wrong with that team, right?
And you, well, also the issue with the buses versus him and Rob Pelinka and, you know, his agent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there were clearly two camps here. So, he would probably, you know, I don't think from a business standpoint, he fancies himself a businessman. He is a businessman. He's built a global empire.
I don't think he regrets a damn thing. He's a smart guy.
He even got the hookup for his kid. He got the hookup for his kid, too. So I don't think he regrets a damn thing.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
All right, moving over to baseball. The Dodgers are 2-8 in their last 10 and have not been any good since acquiring Tarek Skubal. But Z, if given the choice between the Dodgers or the National League field to make the World Series, are you still sticking with the Dodgers?
Dodgers, next question. It's the easiest question that we've asked today.
It doesn't matter.
Come on.
It doesn't matter.
No, absolutely not.
What would it take for you to change? Like, what would need to happen? What player would need to get hurt? What would need to happen for you to be like, ooh, I don't know, it's 50-50 now?
You ever see We Are Marshall? You need something like that to happen, where you'd have to play the AAA team.
I think if they were to lose...
And all, I'm being facetious before people come
for me. I think if they were to lose Yamamoto, or if they were to lose Ohtani, I think that would change. That would tip the scale. Like, that's in my opinion. If they would lose one of those two guys, because they already lost Ohtani, it seems, as a pitcher. It seems like that Cy Young dream is flying away.
Yes.
I don't think he's even going to get that now. But I think if they were to lose one of those guys, you know, I don't know if they could win it in four games.
Right. You'd have to. I mean, but that's the thing, though.
To a fifth game.
Right.
How demoralizing is it going to be if they beat the Brewers in four games?
I mean, it's a blow to everybody who values small ball. It's everybody who values a small market team.
Is there a team that can... Because right now, I think they're going to be having to play the three-game series. Is there a team that could clip them in a three-game series?
In the best two out of three... Well, let's think about it. So the Brewers and the Braves have the bye?
Yeah.
Let me see. I think in a short series, the Phillies could do it. The Phillies could do it. Because
they look like dog shit lately, too.
It's Wheeler and Sanchez. And if need be...
Not Lizardo?
Lizardo's going in game three. I'm going for the kill. I'm going for the kill early. I'm not letting them hang around. And we debated this when we came back from the Yankee game on Sunday. How would you set up your rotation? Me? I'm going for the kill. I want two out of three. I want the sweep. I want to be done. So give me Wheeler. Give me Sanchez. Schwarber can bang. Harper can bang. You know, you just brought in Luis Arraez.
They're on cruise control.
The Dodgers are on cruise control. They absolutely are.
They're 7.5 up. The Diamondbacks, surprisingly.
But of the teams that are going to be playing in that first round, I don't think the Cubs can do it. Like, as good as, you know, I had the Cubs playing the Dodgers in the NLCS. But that offense just doesn't play. They just got Clay Holmes. They just got some reinforcements in the rotation.
I don't know why everybody's on PCA. PCA is okay. He's good.
He's a decent player because he's fiery and he's got personality and yada, yada, yada. You know, he's the same guy who grabbed his junk and, like, You know, let's not forget that. But
classy dude.
Stay classy, Pete. But, you know, if in that short series, absolutely. Because if they get to the second round, they're whooping Milwaukee. They're whooping Milwaukee.
What did the five fingers say to the face?
Slap. Long term.
Belt to ass.
That's it. The only team that I can see. The only team that I can see having a legitimate chance from the other side of that bracket is the Braves. And even then, not that much of a chance.
Not the Braves team we just saw.
No, not the Braves team that we just saw. But if the Phillies are on the Dodgers bracket, if they have to play the Phillies in the first round, and then the Braves have to play the Cubs or the Diamondbacks or the Padres, like, the Braves will be waiting for the Dodgers. And I don't have any confidence that anybody beyond Chris Sale is going to show up. You know, like, it would have been great if you had Spencer Strider. It would be great if you had Schwellenbach. It would be great if you had the guys you're supposed to have.
Tarek School would have been nice.
Well, Tarek School would have been nice, but they weren't gonna fish in that pond. So,
or how about DeGrom? Dirt bag, turned down a trade to the Braves.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, he cited that he wants to win in Texas.
They're trying to trade you. They don't want you to win here.
Right. Currently, the Rangers hold the last wild card.
Dick.
Yeah. No, it's a little off. It's a little off in his projections. You know, the Braves would give him a better chance, but he's comfortable. He wants to stay. I've seen this with DeGrom when he was a Met. He's very much a creature of habit. He's a creature, all right. But this is who he is. He's a very simple person.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. Moron. Moron.
Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey protein powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful, protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K.
All right, staying with baseball. On the flip side, the Boston Red Sox have pulled a game and a half behind the Yankees. The Red Sox get Rutschman back today. So if the Red Sox were to play the Yankees in a best-of-three series, could the Yankees get clipped?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Imagine it's...
Oh, my God.
What's his name? Clay?
You're Sonny Gray versus...
Imagine Sonny Gray.
You figure game one is Sonny Gray, Garrett Cole. You figure...
No, you... Oh, wow. You don't think they're going to throw Freed in game one?
I would go Cole game. But that's me, because you have Schlittler and you have Freed, right?
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah, sure. You have Schlittler and you have Freed. And you don't need to worry about Rodon. Despite what they're saying, I'm not worrying about Carlos Rodon. I'm not pretending that Carlos Rodon is coming back. He's not coming back to save you, much in the way that Aaron Judge is not coming back to save you. Pretend they're not here. Cody Bellinger, that's realistic. Okay, Cody Bellinger. So you're looking at Gray, Tolley, and Ranger Suarez. Now, what order are you going to throw them in? Now, are you saving Sonny Gray for a pivotal game three? I don't know about that. Like, that's the most pressure.
I don't know.
I got a guy in the other line about some white walls.
I got all the cheese due.
Oh my God. Or, you know, I don't know if you do that, if you're Chad Tracy. I think you have to put Sonny Gray out there, out in front, and maybe Ranger Suarez is the guy for a potential game three.
So you're saying Tolley, then?
I'm saying Tolley will probably go either game one or game two. I would say Gray one, Tolley two, Suarez three. In terms of the Yankees compared to the Red Sox, the Yankees are very much a feast or famine team. It's either home runs or nothing. they're beating up on the Mariners right now.
Or when you play
now.
The Mariners, you just keep hitting base hits for some odd reason because they can't catch pop-ups.
Which is, you know, which is what you need to do. Now, on Sunday, when they need to manufacture a run to beat a good team in the Braves, they couldn't do it.
Oh, that's so nice you call them a good team.
They are a good team. They have the second best record in the National League. I think you know, they're a good team. You have to admit it. So I think that this offense is way too feast or famine. It's way too unpredictable in that regard.
What about George Lombard? Is he going to help them out?
Lombard's been great. Lombard has been great in a short burst for them. He already has 2 home runs. He is 25% on the way to catching his debt. George Lombard had 8 career home runs in the pros. George Lombard Jr. already has 2. So good job, Kit. Kid can play. He can pick it. He's got a good arm. He can run. He has a good idea of the strike zone. So he on back-to-back plays, he challenged the ump, worked a walk based on that. And then a couple of hitters later, Sale loses his mind on the balk. Goes into we'll talk about him in Alleged Superstar. But you know,
and the next day too.
Stewing about the melting down over George Lombard essentially caused that. Like he caused Chris Sale to melt down and balk and go crazy. So, you know, he's that kind of player. The kid's got flashes. Yeah, it's only about 5 games. We can chill. We absolutely can pump the brakes on that. Because teams will figure him out. It's a game of adjustments. And then he has to adjust to the adjustments. Look at Ben Rice. Ben Rice has been awful. He had a great start to the year. I believe he's hitting .210 he's been hitting .210 since June 1st.
.256 batting average currently, though, in 32 minutes.
Yeah, but how
and
much
he's
of that?
No help.
And
he's
that,
no help.
But that damage was done early in the year when he did have help.
Sure.
Now that he's the guy, you can pitch around him.
Aaron Judge didn't play the whole summer.
No, Aaron Judge, he's not coming back. For the people in the back, he's not coming back.
No, he just got cleared for light activity.
Oh, light activity. Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. It's August 11th. We need you to ramp this shit up and fast, bro. But you got to hurry this shit. Can Stanton open a bag of chips yet? Forget baseball activities. He wants to be able to open chips. Can he do that? That's why I'm saying Cody Bellinger is the guy who you're actually going to get.
Who's also hurt.
Right. But he's the most realistic. He is your deadline acquisition.
We're just on summer vacation.
Yeah. He's taking a break. He's taking a break. No, if it was summer vacation, if he was still on the Dodgers. But, yeah, I think the Yankees could absolutely get clipped. And then the bullpen, it's all right. It's all right. I think that this is more of a series. It's absolutely more of a series than at the beginning of the year when you had everybody there. And I just think that it's a more even playing field. And Rutschman, he's a good player. .258, 8 homers. What are we talking about here? Really, what are we talking about here? You're talking about a .250 hitter, 8 homers. Yeah, I get it. He used to be much better. But his numbers used to be much better for the Orioles. Got hurt, started to underperform. Maybe he can catch it again with the Red Sox, but we'll see. We will absolutely see, but I think that this is more of a pick'em than it has been all year. And that's a credit to the Red Sox. The Red Sox could have packed it in, like the Mets. They could have just said, we're playing for next year, but they said, we're in this thing.
Molly Bee's offers unforgettable artisan crafted cookies. Molly Bee's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ, and you could be using that at mollybz.com.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the in crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutpodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutdnz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the in route today, we have former Delaware Blue Hen reliever and baseball realist Dan Belford. What's up, Dan? Thanks for coming on.
Howdy, salutations. Thank you both for having me, both D and Z, or Damien and Anthony. Not sure how that works, but appreciate you having me on the air.
You got it, Dan. Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, so, I mean, Dan, we're gonna jump right in. So we'll start you off with this. Once upon a time, you were a relief pitcher with the Delaware Blue Hens. So what are some of the things people get wrong about relievers?
What a great question. I'm so glad you asked. To start, I'd say if anyone thinks that they care about the game or they're locked in, I promise you, they're not. We talk about anything. We'll talk about everything. We'll play practical jokes. It only matters when it gets to, like, the fifth inning, when we get in trouble, or it's like, hey, start getting loose. I don't need to be concentrating on that for, like, six innings when I don't need to. Like, we're having dinner after this. We have to iron out our supper plans, you know? Are we going to go to Qdoba, or are we going to go to Chipotle? How important is queso to the rest of the staff? So I'd say that's the first thing that people get incorrect. Another one that immediately comes to mind is I think people are under the impression that the magic bullet to cure a reliever's like inconsistency or inaccuracy is saying, quote, just throw strikes. Let me be the first one to tell you that's an ineffective cure. turns out, like, as much as I love positive affirmations, telling me just throw strikes, I'll get more wild. I'll do it despite you. I don't care. But that doesn't work. Now into actual serious things. A reliever's quality, people think that it won't be impacted if he throws like 10 pitches or something. It makes sense. He's pretty fresh. Didn't get a lot of usage. It does. Because people forget all the warm-ups that go into it, the stretches. Like, it's a whole routine to get a pitcher ready. Some are more anal than others. Shout out to Trevor Bauer and all of his silly antics. Putting that Dak Prescott hip thrust routine to shame with all of his antics. But, like, it's a whole big thing. And so for the next day, even though he has, like, seven pitches from the day prior, it's like leftovers. Sure, the pasta can still be good. It's just not as good as when it's fresh, you know? So that comes to mind. If you become a closer, you have the best stuff. No, I think you're just mentally tougher than your counterparts. Sergio Romero, I think, old pitcher, old reliever for the Giants.
Yeah, Giants.
Didn't have the best stuff. Had to come in after Brian Wilson, one of the funniest players to ever walk onto a baseball diamond. And he just didn't have good stuff. He had a slider, but because he could shut the door, Giants had faith in him. And we were talking about this before. Brian Baio, I was wrong. Hand up. He's good. He's just not a starter. I don't know whether it's mental, he's trying to save stuff up in the tank, or maybe you have an opinion that's contrary as to why he has the yips in the first inning, but for some reason, like, the people in the Red Sox organization, they keep trotting him out as a starter, and it doesn't work. So, what people get wrong, Brian Baio's not a starter. He's a reliever.
Well, you think about, like, at this point, 30 years ago, the Yankees kept trying to make Ramiro Mendoza a starter. And the problem with Ramiro Mendoza is that he needed to be tired. So he needed to warm up as much as possible to get his sinker to be effective and to just drop off the table. So for guys who rely on heavy balls like that, you need to be tired. Being fresh is actually your enemy. So a guy like Baio may just need to warm up longer. Like, that just be something like a quick fix like that. Like, Brian Boehringer, I mean, got ex-Yankees on the brain because we were talking about, you know, old-timers day. Brian Boehringer, you could not tell him he was going to start. You're just like, surprise, motherfucker. We're going in. So, it's like, well, wait, I'm going to start? What do you mean? So, some guys, you just need to trick them. But, you know, if it was one thing, we'd all do it, right?
Mm-hmm. And that could also speak into, like, the philosophy where some pitchers pitch better hungover. I'll be honest.
Shout out to David Wells.
Yeah, David, well, I'll keep it a $1.50 with you. Man, did you drink before you pitched in college? Sure as shit I did. I'd do it again, David. I had a great time. And if there's, like, for my own personal, I'm like, because I'm so mentally fatigued, the only thing I can focus on is like, all right, I know my routine, I know my mechanics, let's just get this done so I can go back to sleep. I'd love to win. Don't get it twisted. I couldn't be happier to win the ball game. But holy heck, do I have like a geological hazards test the next day that I'm not prepared for. I need my slumber. So I think maybe it's something like a physical trigger that he needs, or he needs to set himself in that like less than mindset. I don't know what it is, but I'm interested. I'm actually praying for his downfall as a Yankees fan, but I'm interested to see how it turns out ultimately.
Should be interesting. Well, you did touch on one thing. So, you know, how do you get kind of ready to go? How do you get ready to play? So tell me, take me through it. You know, call comes down to the bullpen. Coach needs you to get warm quickly. Take us through your routine to get ready to get into the game. And what are you doing up until the point in the game when you get called into the game? You talked about thinking about what you're going to eat, you know, after the game, or maybe talking about how many drinks you had before the game.
That been there, done that. I can certainly attest to that. I'll put you inside the mind of Dan. Like, so first, like, game starts, we stretch, we do the whole thing, like, just get the bodies loose. Then I get to have like Halloween in during the season where I get to cosplay as a bullpen catcher. They had like before the game, if people needed to throw like a flat ground or something. Like, I had a guy pumping 91 from like closer than 60 feet to me. I don't think he had much respect for me as an individual, but that's just how he got ready for the game. So that was super cool and exciting. He went to Tulane the next season, so hope he's well. Then during the game, lightly chirp the umpire, establish mental dominance. That way when I get in the game, like, he knows who's the boss. Like, it's my zone. You're just calling the game. Then stretch again. Realistically, I ramp up much quicker than I ought to, just because I'm like, oh, I should have already been doing this. Wasn't. Pray to the baseball gods after throwing 3 good pitches of every pitch type that I timed it out right and I didn't throw too few or too many. And then I either go in the game and shove, or I walk the bases loaded and probably hit a guy. So pretty standard routine. I didn't have a LeBron chop toss. I came out to Black Betty by Ram Jam. Really enjoyed that tune. But yeah, no, I kept it pretty consistent. I kept it consistently ill-prepared.
So there weren't any, like, you know, don't step on the lines, don't step on the dirt. Did you have a kind of a trot out there?
That's kind of like, I don't know, that's not even like milk before, like, Cajun food, you know, you just know not to do it, you know.
Was there a cutoff like, point where you would like, I'm not gonna eat anymore today because I might shit my pants when I get out there?
Yes, I'd say chicken parms, while delicious, are not excellent pregame nutrition, especially if you couple that with the heavy sauce and pasta. That I can't do. I'd say sandwiches were usually the go-to, but anything from Wawa, I think, on the menu is allowed. Like, that was typically, like, the prerequisites. Like, and yes, Dan, if you're wondering, did you get a glass can of Coke before every game, even if it was at 8 a.m.? Yes, that was my routine.
All right.
So, was it the correct thing to do, especially with people so focused on their dietary restrictions and, like, being as healthy as you can be? Yeah, it was bad. I did it, though.
I was a banana nut muffin guy. I needed one of those. Mm. Little four-pack of those before I trotted out to the field. You know, that was my routine. That got me good.
How did that treat you?
Yes.
Because you look like strong right now. I don't know if you've kept up the banana nut muffin routine. Like, how has that impacted your play?
Oh, well, it just gave me the confidence and the fortitude to go out there and perform. You know, I have stopped it. I actually can't stand them anymore because maybe it just I have a little bit of a PTSD from it. But no. It was like, you know, once I had this, that was like my spinach, you know, Popeye spinach. That was my,
yeah.
I was ready to go.
don't know. I'm a black coffee before the game kind of guy. Like, I'm
definitely going to the bathroom.
No, everything shuts off. Everything shuts off. For it's weird. I know, but black coffee and water, like, I'm good for like 2-3 hours. It's crazy.
You're good for two runs.
You mentioned the sweetening game. Have you ever dared to cross like the hazelnut threshold? Like, whoa, where does your proclivities lie there?
On a game day, I can't be too much. I can't go too heavy on that. I can't get in with the creamers and anything like that. No, straight black. Yeah, like the 86 Mets, unleaded. Unleaded. Unleaded.
I like that. It's a very blue-collar approach. I love it.
Check out part two of our interview with Daniel Belfer later this week.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram account at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out in this year's show. Takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week? D.
I don't.
That'll be one Mr. Brian Cashman. Not making the necessary trade deadline deals, but apparently he got a $2.6 billion windfall today. The Yankees just made some big deal, freed up some money. So maybe next year, Cashman can make some moves. That was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right, so the first one up is an easy one for me. That is the backup quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, J.J. McCarthy. The Minnesota Vikings announced today that second baseman Kyler Murray will be starting quarterback this year. That means first-round pick from 2 years ago out of the College of Michigan will be backing up Kyler Murray this year. J.J. McCarthy, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I'm going to call an audible here, and I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills' new stadium. Brand new stadium, Z. They had a soft opening today or yesterday. Fans are not happy with their seats in the new stadium. Obstructed views, just poor seating arrangements, Jumbotron in the way, glass in the way, partitions in the way.
Everything's
not to mention it is an outdoor stadium in Buffalo, New York for a team that plays the majority of its games in the wintertime. Oh, Buffalo Bills, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, I'm going to do this all year until the season's over, and that's Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Oh, Jesus.
He popped number 7 this weekend. Woo! In August. Way to go, champ. Really sinking my fantasy baseball team. Thanks a lot. Vladimir Guerrero, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
Going back to the Buffalo Bills stadium for a second there, they do have a canopy. The problem is that it doesn't cover the 100 and 200 level seats. So, Bills Mafia, you're still going to be freezing your cojones off.
It doesn't cover the fucking field.
Well, they want to keep
Which is the most important part of the damn game.
Well, they want to keep their
Minnesota
home field
Vikings.
Advantage.
You see them playing outdoors?
No. But also, we also saw the roof implode at the Metrodome. Which required them to build a new stadium. So we saw that. So not, you know, a roof is not always
the
end all
be all. But that stadium was old already, though.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. That is true. But
damn it.
But lake effect snow? Dude, that's no joke. Well, you've seen what they do for $20 in beer. Like, come on. Like, Buffalo is a hardy, resilient bunch. Good for you guys. I could never do that. Like, I would never want to do that. We salute you. For $20 an hour and some beer, they'll go out there topless and shovel out the goddamn stadium.
The worst is, if you're a Buffalo Bills player and you play an away game on a Sunday night,
oh,
you fly into Buffalo at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, there's like 2 feet of snow in your car. Fuck my life. You coming off of a football game where you were probably sleeping on the plane, you busted to the facility, and now you got to shovel snow to get home. Only to be back at the facility like the next day if you like get treated.
Yeah. That is rough.
Not for everybody.
No, not for the faint of heart. Buffalo is not for the faint of heart. I'm going to start with Chris Sale.
That guy.
Yeah. Losing his mind, going apoplectic after balking against the Yankees on Saturday. And then, in his infinite wisdom, manager Walt Weiss decided Chris Sale's going to bring out the lineup card today. So, you got set up by your own fucking manager, if you really want to think about it. Mouths off to the ump about the balk the previous day. Gets run before the game starts. Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad weekend for one Mr. Chris Sale. Apparently, he is an excitable fella. Who knew that Chris Sale was such an excitable fella? But Walt Weiss, you kind of set him up a little bit. You kind of screwed with him a little bit. But Chris Sale, you took the bait and you paid for it.
Didn't
big want
to
time.
Watch the game from the dugout anyway.
Fuck that. Catering spread's better. Chris Sale, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Cal Raleigh. Getting into it with Gleyber Torres at the plate in a recent Mariners-Tigers game. And Gleyber Torres with the ultimate clapback at Mr. Raleigh. At least I have hits, bro. When Gleyber Torres is punking you out, you really need to reconsider your position on things. You're having a rough year, Mr. Raleigh. You shouldn't be talking shit to anybody. Mr. 161, 12, and 43.
Interesting, he's batting 161 before the All-Star game and 161 after the All-Star game. He's truly a 161 hitter this year.
Yeah. This is, talk about big dumper. This season is a big dumper. 100%. Cal Raleigh, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Kirk Cousins and Max Crosby getting into it at Raiders training camp and both getting ejected from Raiders training camp by head coach Clint Kubiak. Apparently, Max Crosby kind of an idiot. He's kind of an idiot. What does the red shirt mean, D? You were a quarterback. What does the red shirt mean?
Hands off. Don't touch him.
Don't hit me. Why is Max Crosby going for Kirk Cousins' arm when he plays quarterback? And what body part do you need when you're the quarterback? Your fucking arm. His response was, "Well, I'm going to practice like I play against the other team, you idiot. What are you doing?" But part of me wishes I was there to hear Kirk Cousins go back at Max Crosby in the most PG way. Dagnummit. Gosh darn it. You could have hurt me. It makes Philip Rivers look like a hard ass. That's what we're talking about here. Kirk Cousins and Max Crosby, you are my alleged superstars of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.